Let's open with a word of prayer, fellas. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. And as we will finish your precious book today of Revelation, Lord, give us wisdom and discernment and hearts that want to understand and know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we are in chapter 17 today. And remember, we talked about there's a blessing in this book for those who read, for those who hear, and those who do. And we know that we've looked at the church and the church age, and it's over now because the church is in heaven at this point. And yesterday we studied the seven trumpets and the seven seals and the seven bowls of wrath which God had poured out on the earth, will pour out on the earth. So we continue today for three more chapters in finishing up discussion of this wrath being poured out. And so we had talked yesterday at the very end of chapter 16 about the great Babylon was remembered before God. To give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So as we begin the 17th chapter in verse 1, we read, "Then one of the seven angels had the seven bowls, came and talked with me, saying to me, Come. I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now where it says she sits on many waters, later we're told waters is relating to the nations of the earth there. So Babylon has relationship with many nations as the leading, in this case, spiritual center of the world. All the world religions really stem from things from Babylon, come from that. So verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And then verse 5, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. So it's this Mystery Babylon here who's going to be destroyed forever. The source of idolatry being destroyed forever. She is the mother of harlots, of idolatry, and of abominations of the earth. Now in verse 7, the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. So now he's going to explain to us what he's talking about. Verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they see the beast that was and is not. So we don't know who this beast will actually be, also called the Antichrist. Some think it'll be Caesar Nero. Caesar Nero was a demonically possessed Caesar of Rome. And he was believed to have a demonic possession. And so the demons continue on. So maybe later this demon is going to come out of the bottomless pit and be the Antichrist. But regardless of who it will be in the form of a man, it will be basically the demon under the power of Satan. Now he tells us some more things in verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, seven mountains is an interesting term. That's the term frequently given to the city of Rome. Rome sits on seven hills. So many people think the beast will be related to Rome, basically, which is the Orthodox Catholic Church. Verse 10, there are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not and is himself also the eighth. And is of the seven and is going to perdition. So there have been many nations that have been leading the world, like Greece and Rome and so forth.
Rome.
And it looks like the beast now is going to have world domination for a short time. And that here he's referred to as the eighth nation. But it also says he will be going into perdition, which means he's a short time and then he's going to go into hell. Now, the ten horns are identified in verse 12. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So it says they've received no kingdoms yet, so they probably are not around now. But these ten nations receiving authority from the beast will be raised up at that time. They are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. In verse 14, they will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. So we're talking here about the final battle between the wicked forces of the world. The wicked forces of the world who will come against the Lord. And it says here, as we read, they'll make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Now, moving on to verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So it said where the harlot sits on the waters, and the waters means the nations here, as it says. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So apparently they're... So we believe there are 10 nations that are going to rise up against the Antichrist. And burn her with fire. Verse 17 says, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. Verse 17. And then the woman, which we've been talking about, whom you saw, is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So what city is that? We don't know. In the old days, it would have been Babylon. Then maybe later on, it would have been Pergamos. And then later on, maybe Rome. And it may be another city which will rise up at the center of world religion. But that great city of spiritual idolatry will be destroyed. So chapter 17 says that spiritual Babylon is going to be destroyed. Now we get to chapter 18, we have the economic aspect of Babylon to be destroyed. So today we're in an economic world, pretty much guided by the ability or the desire to make money. And so different nations, everybody's trying to make money. The emphasis basically of almost worshiping money. I work all my life to make money. For example. So we have the spiritual side of idolatry, but we also have the economic side. And here in chapter 18, we see God bringing this whole economic thing down to nothing. The world economic system in 1 hour is going to be destroyed. So let's read how that will happen in chapter 18. Verse 1, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, say, Babylon the great is fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird.
disant, elle est tombée, Babylone la grande. Elle est devenue une habitation de démons, un repère de tout esprit impur, un repère de tout oiseau impur, un repère de Dieu.
So, we heard that a few chapters ago, one of the angels saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and here it is now happening. Well, in a few chapters back in Revelation, we heard one of the angels say, Babylon is fallen, Babylon is fallen, and now it is actually happening here in chapter 18. So in chapter 3 now in verse 3 we have, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication. Read that part. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So that's meaning now the economic aspects coming out of corrupt Babylon over the centuries, which is still going on. All the nations are in this same economic kind of pursuit. Reading on in verse 3, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So, again, talking about all the nations trying to make money. Doesn't matter what you do, bad things, or how many people you hurt, you just want to make money. But here in the Great Tribulation, God's going to make all that right. He's going to make every wicked thing end. And he will establish his holiness here on earth, which is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what's happening here in the book of Revelation. So, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. So here again we see the practice of God calling for people to come to him. Even though most of the people now have been killed on the face of the earth, those that are remaining, God is saying to her, come out of her, my people. Now this come out of her, my people, is given to us several places in the prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah, in Zechariah, in 2 Corinthians. So this is being repeated by the Lord over and over. Come out of the wickedness, my people. And so we read continually there, for her sins have reached to heaven and God has remembered her iniquities. We are reading now in the last part of verse 5. Well, verse 5. For her sins have reached to heaven and God has remembered her iniquities. So that's the same thing God said when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Her sins have risen up to heaven, and I'm going to destroy them. So verse 6, render or give to her just as she rendered or gave to you, and repay her double according to her words in the cup which she has mixed double for her.
Payez-la comme elle a payé, rendez-lui au double selon ses œuvres.
So God in his righteous judgment is going to give to Babylon what she has been giving to others. And he's going to give it double back to her, it says. Verse 7 we read, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am no widow, and will not see sorrow.
Autant, elle s'est glorifiée et plongée dans le luxe, autant donner lui de tourment et de deuil, parce qu'elle dit en son cœur, je suis assise en reine, je ne suis point œuvre, et je suis point veuve, et je ne verrai point le deuil.
So here she is, rich and proud, sitting on top of the world, saying, nothing can ever happen to me, I will never see sorrow. But yet God says, I'm going to bring her down. So we read on there, verse 8, therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. Verse 8.
À cause de cela, en un même jour, ses fléaux arriveront la mort, le deuil et la famine, et elle sera consumée par le feu, par la puissance du Seigneur qui l'a jugée.
So that mourning and famine and plagues will come in one day, and it says she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her.
Et bien, elle sera consumée par le feu, car le Dieu, car il est puissant, le Seigneur Dieu qui l'a jugée.
So we see over and over again, God is powerful, he's great, he's just, and he will prevail. Now we see the world is going to really be disappointed in Babylon's fall. In other words, the world is making their money from working with the one who sits on top of making the money, and in that case, it's a type of Babylon.
Okay. À cause de Babylon qui t'a fait toutes sortes de bagarres, méchants yo, ils t'ont fait quoi? Mon qui était en bas Babylon, ils t'ont fait tout. Vous devez obliger payer les conséquences à tout.
So, reading verse 9, it says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning.
Les nations de la terre qui se sont livrées avec elle à l'impudicité et au luxe pleureront et se lamenteront à cause d'elle. Et je dis, quand ils verront la fumée de son embrasement.
So these nations are sad because they see the one that they're trading with is coming down. Verse 10, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city.
Verse 10.
For in 1 hour your judgment has come. So the great city, which is the head of the economy of the world, will come down. In Bible times, that city would have been Babylon. A later time, it might have been London, England. London was a strong economic city. Today, Washington, D.C. is still one of the strong cities. It may be Tokyo, Japan. It may be Beijing, China. We don't know what city this is going to be that stands at the head of the economic thing when the but it's that city that is the stronghold. It's called Babylon here in the Bible. It's going to come down in 1 hour. Verse 11, And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. So you can't get spare parts, you can't get anything from Babylon anymore because it's gone. So here are the things that they say you can't get anymore because they're gone. Verse 12 reads, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. So read verse 12.
Cargaison d'or, argent, de pierres précieuses, de perles, de fin lin, de pourpre, de soie, de clout, de toute espèce de bois de senteur, et toute espèce d'objet d'ivoire, de toute espèce d'objet de bois très précieux, et des reins en fer et en marbre.
And then verse 13, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil with frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, bodies and souls of men.
The cinnamon, aromate, parfum, myrrh, d'encens, du vin, d'huile, de fine farine, de blé, de bœuf, de brebis, de chevaux,
and then verse 14, the fruit that is longed, that your soul has longed for, has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all.
Les fruits que désirait ton âme sont allés loin de toi, et toutes les choses délicates et magnifiques sont perdues pour toi, et
and then, verse 15, the merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious pearls and stone. That's verses 15 and 16.
Les marchands de ces choses qui sont enrichis par elles se tiendront éloignés de la crainte de ce tourment. Ils pleureront et seront dans le deuil et diront malheur, malheur. La grande ville qui était vêtue de fin lin, de pourpre, d'écarlate et de parures d'or, de pierres précieuses et de perles, et une seule heure étant riche, ont été détruites.
Okay, for in 1 hour, with such great riches came to nothing. In the last part of that verse, every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? That's verses 17 and 18.
Et tous les pilotes, tous ceux qui naviguent vers de ce lieu, les marins et tous ceux qui exploitent la mer se tenaient éloignés, et ils s'écriaient en voyant la fumée de son embarrassement, cette ville, quelle ville était semblable à de la grande ville?
All right. What is like this great city? Verse 19, they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she's made desolate.
Ils jetaient de la poussière sur les têtes, ils pleuraient, ils étaient dans le deuil, et ils criaient, ils disaient, malheur, malheur, la grande ville se sont enrichies par l'opulence, par son opulence, tous ceux qui ont été dans la vie sur la mer, et une seule heure, et elle était détruite.
So we see here that the city, economic systems of the world, all the rich and powerful people controlling all the money will all be burned. 1 hour. Now notice what happens in heaven in verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. So those of the church, those of God's, have been persecuted by this economic power situation, says holy apostles and prophets. For God has avenged you on her. Now verse 21 shows the end of that fall. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more.
Alors un ange puissant brille bien semblable à une grande mer, et il jeta dans la mer en disant, ainsi sera précipité avec violence Babylone, la grande ville, et elle était juste trouvée.
So it's just disappeared. It's like it's been thrown into the sea. Verse 22, the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No more music's coming out of that city.
On ne trouvera pas plus chez toi aucun artisan d'un métier quelconque. On n'entendra plus chez toi le bruit de la meule.
So here we see no workers, no sound of a millstone anymore. And then in verse 23, the light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore.
La lumière de la lampe ne brillera plus chez toi. La voix de l'époux et de l'épouse ne sera pas entendue chez toi. Parce que les marchands étaient les grands de la terre. Parce que toutes les nations ont été séduites par les enchantements.
So we read here, there's no more light. No more marrying, no more bride and groom. No more happiness, no more joy, it's gone. And we read on, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, and for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. The end of verse
23.
And then verse 24, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, all of who were slain on the earth. Now we know during the period of the Roman Empire, there were estimated to be 6 million Christians killed. So in the economic power of the system of Rome, just that one power, we see 6 million Christians estimated to be killed. So here we read, in this city was found the blood of prophets and saints, all of who were slain on the earth. So the blood was on their hands because of killing God's people. And God says when he destroyed it, in her hands was found this blood. She's guilty. All right, that's 17 and 18. So again, 17 was a destruction of spiritual Babylon. And in 18 is the destruction of economic Babylon. And so now we have Babylon gone. Now notice the what happens in heaven at this time. In verse 19, or verse 1 of chapter 19, verse 1 reads, after these things. Now again, that term comes up over and over again, after these things. After these things, the church was lifted up into heaven in the rapture. After it was announced that there would be the seven trumpets and the seven seals and the seven bowls, after these things, we saw the terrible things happening. So now, once again, after these things, after the things of the destruction of Babylon, we read, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, or Hallelujah.
Dans le ciel comme une forte voix d'une foule nombreuse qui disait Alléluia.
Reading on, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication and has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. So read all of the rest of verse 1 and verse 2, please.
Le salut, la gloire et la puissance sont à notre Dieu, parce que ses jugements sont véritables et justes, car il a jugé la grande prostituée qui corrompait la terre et son impudicité, car il a vengé le sang et ses serviteurs en lui rendant sa main.
So notice heaven is saying, yes, Lord, you are right, you are just, you are true. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Again, we reading on verse 3. Again they said, Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. Verse
3. Et ils dirent une seconde fois, Hallelujah, et sa fumée montait au siècle des siècles.
So they said it again, Hallelujah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And now verse 4. Now the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Read that. No, number 3, Alleluia, right? Now the Alleluia. And now we go to verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great.
Et une voix sortit du trône, disant, Louez notre Dieu pour tous ses serviteurs, vous qui le craignez, petits et grands.
So that's what you and I are to do. We're to be praising God. We're to be praising God. Are you praising him?
Amen.
Is your heart full of praise for what he's done? That your name is written in the book of life. That he saved you from your sin. That he saved me from my sin. And not just forgiving it, but he wipes it away. Just as if it had never happened. We praise him. Hallelujah. 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 All right. Verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and of the sound of many waters, saying, Hallelujah. Read that one.
Hallelujah.
So now the great multitude, I think he's talking about the church. I think he's talking about possibly angels as well. But the great multitude in heaven is the body of Christ. That's who's there, millions and millions of believers. So here's what we're going to say. So remember these words. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, the bride, has made herself ready. In verse 7.
Réjouissons-nous et soyons dans la détresse, et donnons gloire dans les noces de l'agneau, sont venus et son épouse s'est réparée.
So now here is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Which has been told a number of times in the Bible before. And it's that time when we will be with our Lord and we will have this marriage supper. He is our husband. We are his bride. He is marrying us in a sense, the marriage supper. In that day, you would always have a marriage supper. And it would typically go on for a long time. It might be going for 3 days. I don't know how long our marriage supper is going to go. Some believe it's going to be the 1,000-year millennial reign, so the supper is going to go on for 1,000 years. Some believe it's going to go on forever. And I don't know how long it's going to go on, but we are going to be there with our Lord in the marriage supper. And then verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Read that, please.
Et il lui était donné de se revêtir de fin lin, éclatant, pur, car le fin lin, ce sont des œuvres justes des saints.
Now remember we had, I don't know if you know, remember, but Jesus told a parable in the New Testament about the wedding feast. About the wedding feast. And one person showed up without the right garments. And he was cast out. Couldn't come to the wedding. And here we see, we come to the wedding because we have his garments of righteousness on.
Yes.
It says in verse 8 again, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, or for the clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.
Verse 9?
Yeah, again, just to repeat. Now, you and I are saved. Are we righteous because of what we have done? No. We're righteous because of what he has done. And as his followers, as his believers, we are clothed in his white robes of righteousness, right? So here it tells us that those at the marriage supper will have those white righteous robes on because of what he has done. Now verse 9 says, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So here we're told we're blessed. Blessed are you who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, when you get a day of really being discouraged, things seem to all be going wrong. Remember these verses. Blessed are you. In his righteous white robes, we're going to be with him soon at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then reading on in verse 9, and he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So we have at the end of the book here repeated more than once this statement. Saying, these are the true sayings of God.
Ça, c'est la vraie vérité de Dieu.
It's like the news is so good, I can't believe it. I wonder if this is really true. I'm not sure it's true. But God is saying, this is true. These are the true sayings of God.
Mais ça, c'est la vérité. C'est la déclaration véridique de Dieu.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Awesome. Beautiful. Verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. Now the angel is speaking to John, and John gets so excited, he falls down and worships the angel. And the angel said, don't worship me. Worship God. So as we read on, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and above your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. So, we are not to worship angels. We're not to worship men. We're to worship God. We're to worship God. Amen. And it says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, what does that mean? I believe it means that all prophecy is centered in Jesus Christ and in the witness of Jesus Christ. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's only God who can speak things that are going to happen in the future accurately. Spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Now we're going to have Christ appearing on a white horse. Verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. So this is Jesus Christ on this horse. He's called faithful and true. He is righteous. He's the righteous. He's the righteous judge. And in righteousness, he makes war. Now, here's his description once again in verse 12. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Those eyes could see through anything. And fire has an aspect of judgment in it. The aspect of purifying what is good. Fire makes precious gold and silver more pure. But things are not bad, it burns up. Things are not bad, it burns up. So Jesus' eyes are like flames of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Diadem. Only the Lord can have diadem. Only the Lord has diadem. You and I have Stephanos. Stephanos means crown, but only small crown. Big crown, diadem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he had a name written that no one knew except himself. End of 12.
Il avait un nom écrit que personne ne connaît si ce n'est
And then verse 13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Yes.
Is that amen? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Verse 14, and the armies in heaven, that's us, armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. So do you know how to ride a white horse? Can you ride a white horse? Looks like we're going to be riding white horses with him, maybe.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is very big verse here, 15. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. So, now we've got these hundreds of millions coming against him in war. We've got all rockets and tanks and planes and guns and everything in the world coming against the Lord. And with this word from his mouth, one word, they're all destroyed.
One word, Monsieur.
Remember yesterday, the blood was up to the horse's bridle for 85 miles. That's what happens from one word from our Lord. Is he powerful?
Amen.
Amen. Is his word powerful? Amen.
Powerful.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then we read, he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Now remember, we read that yesterday too. He will rule with a rod of iron. So this is the time now, from now on, where we are, when he will rule with a rod of iron. And you and I are going to help him in that, I believe, in some way during the 1,000 years. And then we read, continuing on, he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So notice that all of the wrath of Almighty God for all the sin of the world forever. Your sin, my sin, all the sins forever and ever. Jesus Christ himself is going to tread that.
Amen.
So our Jesus is so awesome. All by himself, he does it all. No help from anybody or anything, just him. And then verse 16, we see what his name says. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's hallelujah, hallelujah, huh?
Hallelujah.
So that is so exciting. Now moving on to verse 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he said with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. Well, read verse 17.
Je vis un ange qui se tenait dans le soleil, et il cria d'une voix forte, disant à tous les oiseaux qui volaient par le milieu du ciel, venez, rassemblez-vous pour le grand festin de Dieu,
In verse 18, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all the people, free and slave, both small and great.
Afin de manger la chair des rois, la chair des chefs militaires, la chair des puissants, la chair des chevaux, de ceux qui les montent, la chair de tous, libres et esclaves, petits et grands.
So God is saying, after they're all wiped out with that one word from Jesus' mouth, all great, small, generals, privates, no matter what, will be there dead, and the birds come.
Yes.
Now, their leaders are these two antichrists, right? The two beasts. So in verse 19, we read the following. And I saw the beasts, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Would you read that, please? Verse 20, then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image.
Et la bête fut prise, et avec elle le faux prophète qui avait fait devant elle les prodiges par lesquels il avait séduit ceux qui avaient pris la marque de la bête et adoré son image.
So here we see the two beasts, the two antichrists, captured. Now, reading on at the end of chapter 20, these two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So here we have the first two cast into the permanent, eternal lake of fire. The eternal outer darkness. We will see that them come up again at the end of 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, we'll see reference made to these two again. So, verse 21, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So the two beasts, the two antichrists, are taken separately and thrown into the lake of fire. The rest were all killed. The bird eat their flesh. So that's their first death, right? We'll later come to their second death. So now we see Satan in chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. So now the plan of God is to put Satan away for 1,000 years. The strong angel comes down with a key to the bottomless pit, puts a chain on Satan, and throws him into the pit. He's going to be locked up there for 1,000 years. That he should deceive the nations no more. But then notice the next sentence after that. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So Satan's going to be put away for 1,000 years, and at the end of 1,000 years, we call that the millennial reign, he's going to be released for a little while. And then verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they set on them, and judgment was committed to them. So I believe this is the church he's talking about. Those who sit on the thrones in heaven. And judgment was committed to them. So we're going to sit on thrones in heaven, and we're going to be judging. Apostle Paul wrote in Corinthians that we will be judging angels. We will be judging angels when this time comes. And I think we also may be judging those who are born, who are alive in physical bodies at this time. Okay, so we read that's the church. Now, the second part of the sentence is as follows. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So read verse 4 to verse 5.
Et je vis les âmes de ceux qui avaient été décapités à cause du témoignage de Jésus et à cause de la parole de Dieu et de ceux qui n'avaient pas adoré la bête ni son image et qui n'avaient pas reçu la marque sur leur front et sur leurs mains. Ils revinrent à la vie et ils régnèrent avec Christ pendant 1,000 ans. Les autres morts ne reviennent point à la vie jusqu'à ce que les 1,000 ans fussent accomplis. C'est la première résurrection.
So we see these two groups. One is the church. And the second group are the martyrs that were martyred during the tribulation. Now the martyrs of the church will live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years as well. Read verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. The rest of the dead are unbelievers. They will. This tells us the unbelievers will be resurrected at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign. It says the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That's verse 6.
Yeah. Heureux et saint ceux qui ont part à la première résurrection, parce que mort n'a pas de pouvoir sur eux, mais ils seront sacrificateurs de Dieu et de Christ, et ils régneront avec lui pendant 1,000 ans.
Verse 6 says, then over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Et ils régneront avec lui pendant 1,000 ans.
So that says again, then we will be reigning with him as priests for 1,000 years. We'll be priests of God and of Christ, reigning with him for 1,000 years. So this section in here says that the believers will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, verse 7. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea.
Quand les mille ans seront accomplis, Satan sera relâché de sa prison et il sortira pour séduire les nations qui sont au point de la terre, Gog et Magog, afin que les rassembler pour la guerre. Le nombre est comme le sable de la mer.
Now see if you can get the picture. See if you can get the picture here. As we came out of the tribulation into the 1,000-year millennial reign, there's going to be a relatively small number of people who will have made it through the tribulation and not died. These people will populate during that 1,000 years. They will grow. They will have babies, much like we are today. And in kind of perfect conditions, they probably will grow very rapidly. And some of them will come to know the Lord. Some of them will come to know the Lord, and some of them won't.
Okay.
Even though Jesus is ruling perfectly, honestly, no corruption.
He's reigning.
He's the king for 1,000 years. So Jesus is a perfect king. Perfect government. No corruption. Ruling with a rod of iron. We will be helping enforce that. But at the end of 1,000 years, Satan is released for a little while. And it says many will follow Satan. It says many will follow Satan. It says, let me read it here. Where are we here? They went up. Okay, I guess it's on the previous page. That's why I can't find it. When Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather together to battle, whose number is at the sand of the sea. That was at the end of verse 8. So be many people. Now, there's been a lot of questions as to why would God allow this. And I don't know. But my opinion is, God wants to show the wickedness of the heart of man. That even with a good government, even with perfect living conditions, even with believers surrounding all around who are even helping establish the judgment and the rule. Verse 9, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. So I think they're going around Jerusalem most likely, and they're ready to fight again. But what happens? Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's the end of verse 9. So we see these rebels, the ones who are following Satan, are going to gather around to destroy the city of Jerusalem. And God once again is going to wipe them out. Sends down fire and they're wiped out. And verse 10 says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. And brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. So the beast and the false prophet have been in the lake of fire for 1,000 years. They're still there. Now Satan's joining them. So now there's three in the lake of fire. Three in the lake of fire. The two antichrists and Satan. Now soon there'll be many more, but right now there's three there. And it says, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. How long is the lake of fire?
Eternity.
Forever and ever. Yes. Not short time, not 3 years, not 100 years, not 1,000 years. Forever and ever, it says. Forever and ever. Now, we're going to have what we call the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, there are two judgments in the Bible. One is in 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to turn there just a moment in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 is...
Second or first?
Second Corinthians 5. Shows us in verse 10 where we will be judged. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Can you read that? I'll read it and then you read it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So read that verse, please, 10. This is the judgment seat for believers.
For believers?
For believers. For you and for me. We will stand before Christ one day and be judged. Not for salvation. He has taken care of that. So the believer will not be judged for salvation, but will be judged for rewards. As it says here, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And the Bible actually gives us 5 crowns, which are going to be rewards for things that we do right. And I'll just read that list to you here a moment. And just for, it'll be on the tape so you can write these down later, but maybe you can write them down now as well. The crowns, the 5 crowns that are mentioned in the Bible of rewards. Let me find those here for you. Verse, page 38. Okay. There is the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 is the crown of rejoicing. There is a crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. The first one is crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. The second is crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. Then there are two crowns of life. One is in James 1, verse 12. And one is in Revelation 2, verse 10. Then there's the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, verse 2. And the imperishable crown, 1 Corinthians 9, 25. So those are five crowns which we're told about as types of things that we will be rewarded for. Things such as being faithful to the Lord, such as preaching the gospel, such as being ready for his second return, such as persevering until the end of your life. So this is the judgment seat of Christ where the believers will come before. Are you familiar with the Olympic Games? Have you ever seen that, Olympic Games, where they award the rewards at the end of the race? Yeah. They stand up and they get a gold medal or a silver medal, bronze medal. This judgment seat is a little like that. We'll get rewards there. Again, I say it's not for salvation. He has already gotten that for every believer. We already have salvation because of what he has done. By believing in him, we have salvation. So the passage we just read there in Corinthians is for the believers. But now, what about all these unbelievers? What happens to them? Well, we have the judgment known as the Great White Throne Judgment here in Revelation 20, verse 11. And this is an awesome description here. Verse 11 reads, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them." Would you read verse 11, please? Now, when you and I go to the Lord today, we go to the throne of grace. When any believer approaches the throne of God today, it's to the throne of grace. But here we read a throne of judgment. A throne of judgment, and we say, "He who sat on it is Jesus Christ, and heaven fled away." There's no heaven associated with this judgment. Heaven's gone. These are unbelievers now who are going to be judged. And we read there was found no place for them. Because they did not believe in Jesus Christ, they don't have any protection. They're done. No place was found for them. And verse 12 reads the following, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened." Would you read that, please? Verse 12.
Verse 12. Je vis les morts, les grands et les petits, qui se tenaient devant le trône. Des livres furent ouverts, et un autre livre fut ouvert, celui qui est le livre de vie. Et les morts furent jugés selon leur œuvre, d'après ce qui était écrit dans ces livres.
So here we have all of the unbelievers, in a sense, standing before God. And it said books were opened. I think that means there will be a record of every single thing everybody has ever done. As an unbeliever, your books will be opened and God will say or know or see and have a record of everything you've ever done. And it says, another book was opened, which is the book of life. The book of life is the book that gives you, that's, if your name is not in the book of life, you're not going to be in heaven. You've got to be here. And it says, another book was opened, the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So here, these unbelievers are being judged according to what they've done. And of course, the fact is they're there because they've not believed in Jesus Christ. Now notice this, verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. So anybody who was thrown into the sea is dead and gone. They'll be raised up, and anybody who is already dead or in hell is going to be raised up, delivered up, as it says. And they will be judged, each one according to his works. Now notice this, verse 14. Then death and hell, or Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. Death and Hades cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Remember in the letters to the book of Revelation, one of the letters said, you will not be subject to, or you will not see the second death. We talked about that yesterday or the day before. And somebody said, well, I hear people say there's three deaths. And I don't know what they mean by that, but the Bible talks about first death and second death. Here's the second death. So that's the death that you will not want to go to. That's the death for unbelievers. Because now they will bow the knee to Jesus Christ, but not for salvation, but for eternal banishment to the place they've chosen. And notice verse 15. Anyone... Verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 15. Anyone... So if your name is not in the book of life, you cast the lake of fire. Okay, now we're coming along really well. We've got two more chapters, and I want to take a little time on that. So let's take a little break here. You can go to the bathroom or whatever you do. We can talk here and stay and have some questions and answers if you want.